I want you to open your Bibles tonight in the book of John's Gospel and the chapter number 5. That's John's Gospel and the 5th chapter. We want to read some verses from this passage of God's Word, and then we'll get before the Lord in prayer, and then we'll study God's infallible truth. That's John's Gospel and the chapter number 5. And I want us just to read a few verses from this passage of God's Word. It says there in verse 24, John's Gospel chapter 5, verse 24, "Verily, verily," the Lord Jesus is speaking here, "I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Verse 39, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you." And God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. For his name's sake, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Let's pray together, please. Heavenly Father, this is thy word. We thank thee we're gathered this Sabbath evening around the precious, infallible, inspired word of thee, the living God. And to this end, O God, tonight I ask thee that thou will help this preacher to preach the word that thou hast given unto me to preach. We thank thee, O God, it says in thy word, "How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except to be sent?" Oh God, we thank thee that thou hast sent us to preach thy precious word. Help me tonight to do it to the glory and to the honor of Jesus Christ and to Christ alone. And so to this end, I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost. Oh God, fill me tonight. Fill me to the uttermost. I take, Lord, please, undertake for me. I pray in Jesus' precious name. And for Jesus' sake, amen and amen. I want to speak tonight upon the saddest utterance that ever fell from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In this 5th chapter of the book of John's Gospel, in the verse number 40, it says these words, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Now, the 5th chapter of the book of John's Gospel, it revolves around one event. It's the story of how the Lord Jesus healed a man that was lying at the pool of Bethesda. The Lord Jesus Christ saw a great multitude, verse number 3, of impotent or weak folk, of blind and halt and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And then it says in verse number 5, a certain man was there. Now the Lord Jesus saw all of these people there that day, but his eye caught upon one person. A certain man was there. Now the Bible tells that this man had an infirmity. He had this infirmity for 38 long years. And so the Lord Jesus comes, and when the Savior saw him lie there, verse number 6, and he knew that he had been now a long time in this case, he saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" You might think to yourself, well, is that not a strange question to ask a man who has been lying there for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda, waiting for to step into the water when it was stirred? To ask him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" But friend, that's not a foolish question at all.
The truth is this, there are those who are sick who do not desire to be healed. Some people enjoy the attention which they get whenever they have the sickness. There are other people, and they have absolutely given up hope. They see that there is no hope whatsoever of them being healed, and so therefore they have no desire to take it a step further and desire to cry out to be healed. There are many also, let's be honest, they know that if they break the habit that they have, that sinful habit, it will help the healing of their body. But the reality is this, there's some people and they know that if you give up that habit that they have, that sinful, dirty habit they have, that they would know a betterness of health, but they don't do it. They just carry on. I think of people in my years of ministry, and let me tell you, my friend, they know that they are smoking themselves to death, and yet, they can hardly breathe. And yet they'll put that cigarette to their mouth again because they can't give it up. You say, but surely, man, it's foolish. Do you not see what you're doing to your body? Do you not see the destruction of your frame? But my friend, after all you're talking to them, and after all you're pleading with them, they just carry on because it seems that they don't care whether they're healed or whether they're not. But this man was lying there for 38 years. But friend, he did desire to be healed. The Bible says in verse number 7, the impotent man answered Jesus, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. And while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Nobody cared enough to help him. He could see there was no help for him. And whilst he was desiring for healing, he could see no way of healing, because when he would shuffle his way to get into the water, when there were troubled, those healing waters, somebody else would be there before him. And friend, let me tell you, he had a desire. Could I ask you this question? Have you a desire to be healed spiritually tonight? Is there a desire in your heart to be saved? Is there an honest desire in your heart to be right with God? Or are you here tonight and you know deep in your heart, you know you need to be saved. You know, except you're saved, you'll be lost for all eternity. But to be honest, there's no desire. What an awful tragedy that men and women could come and go from the house of the holy and still have no desire. Not the least desire to be saved. Friend, let me tell you, there's many a person who's come into a gospel meeting and they can't wait till the meeting's over. Maybe they've come because somebody asked them. Maybe they've come because their loved ones have brought them. But friend, to be honest before God, they have no desire for the healing of God in their soul. That's a sad soul. That's a tragic person. That they can sit in gospel meetings and know that their sin will take them to hell, and yet they will not let go of their sin and have no desire to get their sin dealt with or to get saved. Now this man was desiring to be saved. And it says in verse number 8, Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole. He took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Jesus immediately met this man at the point of his need. And I want to tell you tonight, if there's a desire in your heart to be saved, thank God he'll save you. The Lord Jesus, the Bible says, he's a God ready to pardon. He's more ready to answer your prayer than that you are to even pray it. Thank God he's willing to save the vilest offender who truly believes. Hallelujah, that moment from Jesus, a pardon received. And thank God that man was there, and immediately Jesus commanded the healing. But you know, friend, he had to exercise faith. Jesus said to him, "I want you to take up your bed and walk." You got to stand. This man had been lying for 38 years, friend. He couldn't stand. And of himself, he would never be able to stand. He had tried it so many times. But Jesus gave him the word of command, and he exercised faith. Notice what it says in verse number 9. And immediately the man was made whole. And thank God, he took up his bed and he walked. He believed. He took God at his word. He exercised faith and he rose up and walked. Now, when this man was healed, friend, you would say that those around him would be excited. They'd be so glad. They would say, here's a miracle that this man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has done. But not at all. Instead of being happy or glad, they were hostile. They were against the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, how hard men and women can be. You know, whenever you see a person saved, you know their family. Here's a drunkard. And my, that man has been gloriously delivered from the booze. Would you not think that the family would be excited? Would you not think that they'd be glad that their loved one, their husband, their father, their sons, or their daughters were delivered from the curse of the alcohol? The sad reality is that many, many people, and they've no excitement about that at all. And you know what they tell the person who's come to Christ? Well, I'll give you a week, or I'll give you a month, nearly hoping for them to fall. I want to tell you this, when the Lord saves a man, thank God when it's the work of God's grace, the work is done. The work is done. I remember years and years ago when I went to Belfast, first of all, away, I was about 19 years of age. And remember when I went there, there was a man who was the caretaker of the old Ravenhill Church. His name was Joe Black. He was from Cookstown, originally from Cookstown. And Joe Black had gone to Belfast, and he had married in Belfast, and there he was working in Belfast. But Joe had the curse of the booze. He never could come home on a Friday night without spending his money. He worked all week, but he spent his money. He never came home. His wife could hardly get a penny for the children. Her heart was broken. But friend, let me tell you this. One night he was staggering down the Ravenhill Road. And if you know exactly where it is, along the Armour Road, or along the Ravenhill Road, there's the fence around the Armour Estate. And Joe was coming down, he was holding on to the fence. And that's the way he was going home, just staggering the whole way home. Ian Paisley was a younger preacher at that time. And he saw this old drunk staggering down the road. He put his hand on his shoulder and he said to him, he says, friend, do you know that God loves you? And they looked at him, staggered back. He says, if you knew who I was, you wouldn't say that. He said, I want to tell you, God loves you. And I want to tell you more how much God loves you. He said, would you come down to the old church, down the wee church up in the Ravenhill Road? That was the old church that he had. But Joe couldn't come down. He was that full drunk. And you know, he was just staggering. He was going like that there. And Ian Paisley, this is true, friend. He just lifted Joe up out of us on his feet, and he threw him over his shoulder, and he walked him down with Joe over his back down to the Ravenhill Church. He threw him down, put him down on the seat in the prayer room in the old church, the old Ravenhill Church that I started in. And friend, let me tell you, he left Joe there, and he went out and he got down on his knees and he cried to God. He says, God, you've got to save this man. God, you've got to deliver him from the power and the curse of this booze. And Lord, you've got to save him tonight. If I'm going to continue preaching about Jesus saved, Lord, you've got to save this man. He went back into the little prayer room where Joe was sitting. And he opened his Bible and he told to Joe the story of the cross. He told about a Savior that was mighty to save. He told about one who could break the chains of sin and set him free. And that night, Joe Black got gloriously and wonderfully saved by the grace of God. Matt came to the following Friday evening, and Joe was coming. He worked all week and was coming home. Came to the Sunday, the following Sunday. And you know, Doc said he was like the wee boy that was planting the daffodil bulbs. He was wondering whether they were growing enough, so he pulled them up all the time to see whether they were growing. And he said, whenever it came to the following Sunday, I was nearly really worried about how did Joe get on. And he said, well, waited for Joe to come. And then I said, well, Joe, did you go to the pub on Friday night? He says, I did. He says, my heart sunk. And then Joe laughed. He says, Paisley, I went to the pub all right. I went to the door and opened the door of the pub, and I had the pay packet in my hand that I give all my years to that old rascal there, that old publican that didn't care about me. And I held the pay packet in my hand, and I shouted out, you'll never get a penny of it. Hallelujah. And he walked out. And he walked home and he handed the pay packet to the wife, and she nearly had a heart attack. It was the first pay packet she got from Joe Black. And friend, from that moment, God saved him, and God changed Joe Black. And he was gloriously, wonderfully transformed by the power of the gospel of Christ. Ah, yes, the world may give us a week. The world may give us a month. But praise God, Christ gives us eternity, eternal life, that we should never perish. But you know, these people weren't happy. They were mad. In actual fact, they were that mad, the Bible tells us. They tried and they set out to slay Christ. They wanted to get rid of this man, the man that healed this poor sinner. And they wanted to get rid of him. They wanted to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus had made him whole. You know, the Lord met this man a few days after this in the temple, verse 14. And he said unto him, thou art made whole. Yes, the man was made whole. Then Jesus said, there's sin no more. Lest a worse thing come unto thee. What did that mean? It meant this, friend. That man's sin that he had suffered for 38 years with was because of his sin. That man's sickness was because and was related to his sin. And therefore the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, go and sin no more. Because you're made whole and you've got to live differently. And let me tell you, friend, whenever you are saved, listen, you can't go back to the old haunts of the world. You can't go back to the old way of living. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old things are passed away, and glory to God, all things become new. And so the Lord has saved this man. But friend, they were so filled with contempt for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 18. The Jews sought the more to kill him. They sought the more to kill him. To get rid of the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of them rejoicing in what the Lord has done. And then the Lord Jesus said this to them. If you move on down the passage, because time quickly goes here. The Lord Jesus Christ reveals himself to them. And in verse 24 he says this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Friend, let me say this. He that believeth, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me. It's possible for you to hear the word of God, friend, and still not to believe. It's possible for you to hear the gospel and still go on unsaved. And the tragedy is this, multitudes of people are like that today. In this wee province of ours, and especially in Macrofelt, I can tell you this. Men and women cannot say they have not heard. We have delivered tracts to every door of this district and across this countryside. We have held gospel open airs in every town to tell men and women their need of God's salvation. Yes, and we've preached here for 50 years, and people cannot say that we have not heard our need of God's salvation. Yes, there are those who haven't, and our hearts and desire is that they would hear the word of God. But my friend, tonight you're hearing God's word, and it says, he that heareth my word, but believeth on him that sent me. You've got to believe in the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thank God when you believe, it says, they have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And so the Lord shows them or proclaims to them once again, they're getting another opportunity. That's what you're getting tonight. You're getting another gospel opportunity. On your Christless way to a lost eternity, friend, God is giving you an opportunity to hear the good news of the gospel, that there is a Savior from your sin. There is an answer for your sin. There is an answer for your soul, friend. And it's in the blood and the finished work of Jesus Christ. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. And they had a glorious privilege of that day of hearing the Prince himself, the Prince of Preachers, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the sad reality is this. that many didn't want to hear. They didn't want to hear. Now, before you start pointing the finger at them, friend, I ask you this. What's your response? What have you done with the gospel? What have you done with the gospel opportunities God has given you? What have you done with Jesus, which is called Christ? Have you received him? Can you honestly say before God, yes, I have received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I have put my faith and trust in what Christ did for me, a lost, hell-deserving sinner there upon the cross of Calvary. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. And my trust and my faith is in Christ and in Christ alone. Or is it true that you have not received him? You are like these people, friend. You are rejecting the blessed Son of God with all the knowledge that you have, with all the gospel preaching you have heard, yet you have not believed. You have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jesus said this to them. He said, the hour's coming, friend. The hour's coming. Look at verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Verse 28. Marvel not that I said this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Notice that. All that are in the graves shall hear his voice. You see, the man who died and said, I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe there is a hereafter. I don't believe that I need God's salvation. Let me tell you, they're in that verse. All that are in the graves shall hear his voice. And maybe they lived their lives and they put their fingers in their ears because they didn't want to hear the word of God. They wouldn't receive anything that God has got to say. But they'll hear his voice one day. And all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, it says, and shall come forth. Yes, they've got to come to stand before God. And it says, they that have done good, that is, they have believed in the finished work of Jesus Christ, they shall rise to the resurrection of life. But those that have done evil, to the resurrection of damnation. And I tell you, friend, listen, you might think that you'll crawl up in the dust someday. And somehow you'll crawl up in the end of life's journey and they'll put your body into a coffin and they'll walk you and carry you on their shoulders to a grave and they'll sow your body in Mother Earth and somehow that you'll crawl yourself up there in the dust and you'll hide away from God. I want to tell you, you're a fool. Because all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. And the ungodly man that has lived and died without the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, they'll hear his voice that day. And they're called to the judgment, the resurrection, the Bible says, the resurrection of damnation. That's solemn. The resurrection of damnation. You see, friend, you'll not be able to get away from God. And no matter how you try it, you'll not get away from God. Because I can tell you, you'll find out one thing. God will have the final say. Because the day will come. Remember those words? The day's coming. And so it is. And friend, we're getting closer. We're getting closer to it. But the day is coming when all that are in their graves shall hear his voice. I saw the dead. Isn't that what John had in the vision in Revelation? I saw the dead small. And I saw the dead great. Stand before God. I want to tell you tonight in this meeting, God has appointed a day. Listen to me carefully. God's made the appointment. And you may make an appointment with a doctor, friend, and you mightn't keep it. You may make some other appointment with some other friend, and somehow, because of circumstances, you not keep it. But God has appointed the day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained. Who's that man? It's Jesus, God's Son. And tonight you're hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ and about the salvation which he freely offers to you in the gospel of his cross. But one day, you'll not hear about him, friend. You'll stand before him. Yes, before him. You say, but I don't want that meeting. Friend, let me tell you. Stop your fooling. Do you think you're going to stop God? The God who made you? The God who put the very breath into your body? The God who has the power to take it out again? Somehow that God's going to miss you? No. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And yet, friend, after all of this gospel opportunity, we come to verse 40. And Jesus says these words, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." With all the opportunities, with all the privileges, with all the speaking of God to your soul, men and women reject the Lord Jesus Christ. There's three simple thoughts here. Notice there's the clearest message here. Come to me. Come to me. Now, friends, listen. There's not one in this meeting that doesn't understand that. Let me give you an illustration. Is there a person in this meeting has looked at a little child? And friend, let me tell you, here's a little child, and the little one is just getting on his feet. It's only a matter of perhaps maybe a year old. And you lift that little one up on your feet, and daddy stands back and he holds it out his arms, and he says to the wee child, "Darling, come to me." And friend, let me tell you, that child can't spell. And that child can't count. But whenever daddy holds out his arms like that and says to that wee child, "Come to me," you can see it getting excited and it makes its way to try and get to daddy. Listen, maybe a year old, and the child understands what it means, "Come to me." So don't you think you'll excuse yourself of not knowing what you've got to do, friend? Jesus says, "Come to me." Didn't say come to the church. Didn't say come to the sacrament. Didn't say come to the preacher. He says, "Come to me. Come to me." And friend, I can tell you that's the way to heaven. Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. And if you're going to get to heaven, you've got to come to him. By faith, you have got to come to Christ. Now, you study this Bible and you'll find that that invitation is quite often given. We haven't the time to go into them tonight, but there's some. For example, the gracious come in Isaiah chapter 1. In Isaiah chapter 1, in the verse number 18, there we see the gracious come. Because it says there in verse 18, "Come now, come now. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." The Lord wants to reason with you, friend. He wants to talk to you. He says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Listen to me. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool." Maybe there's someone here tonight, you say, but preacher, hold on, me saying, "I'm too sinful. I couldn't come to him. But what does he say, friend? Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson. And what he's talking about, listen, should you be walking the darkest side of the road to hell, friend? Let me tell you, should you be living in the awful kennels of immorality and sin, no matter how deep it is, no matter how dark your past is or your present is, Jesus says, come now, let us reason together. I can make you as white as snow if you come. If you come to me. I remember there used to be a member of Parliament for North Belfast. His name was Johnny McQuaid. Johnny McQuaid was a soldier at the time of the war. He was one of the elite soldiers for the war. He had to go way back and behind the enemy lines and to fight for his king and country. Johnny was a very honourable man. Johnny told it exactly as it was. He had no airs or graces. Lived in a wee house up the Shankill Road. Many times I was in Johnny's house and sat there. I would talk to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you talk to Johnny about salvation, Johnny said, Mr. McCrae, if you only knew what I had to do in fighting that war. He said, God couldn't forgive me. But I had to do it. I was a soldier under command. And many of those things troubled Johnny. How he had to kill to win the war. And then one day, Johnny loved Sissy, his wee wife. It was just a wee two-bedroom house up the Shankill. One day, Sissy was diagnosed with cancer. Johnny loved Sissy with all his heart. And Johnny knew the truth. He knew he needed to be saved, but Johnny felt he was too bad to be saved. But he didn't want Sissy to go to hell. He asked one of my colleagues to go and speak to Sissy and tell his wee wife she needed Jesus. And thank God, one night, Sissy gave her heart and her life to Christ. And through it, God started to work on Johnny's heart. You know what Johnny found out? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And thank God Johnny came to Christ too. Come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. And maybe the devil's saying to you, friend, there's no hope tonight. You're too deep a sinner. You're too vile a sinner. Nobody would want to know. If you knew your life, they wouldn't want to know you at all. Let me tell you, friend, God already knows your life. It's written in his book. It's already on the record. But God says, if you come now, you see, when you die, friend, you can't come then. Opportunity's over. And if you're going to be saved, you're going to be saved now. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow, though they be red like crimson. And when the old devil says to you, there's no hope, sinner, the Lord would never take you. The Lord would never have you. You're too rotten. You're too filthy. I want to tell you, the devil's a liar. He's a liar. For the devil has only one desire in your soul, is to take you to hell where he is. And he's a liar. For thank God, God is ready to see him. That's why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save. We have that gracious come. We have that gentle come. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And Jesus says, I'll give you rest. Come unto me. Are you here tonight? And friend, listen, if your heart was had a window in it, and if we could only see what's in your heart, you're carrying a heavy heart tonight. Maybe a heart of guilt. Heart of fear. Heart of doubt. And if we could look through that window of your heart, and you've got a smiling face, but I'll tell you this, God knows you're not smiling inside. Your heart's breaking. You know what Jesus said? Come to me. Broken-hearted sinner. For a broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise. But he says, come to me. All ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Thank God children can come. Thank God the teenagers can come. Look at the number of people, friend. And they're holding seminars here, there, and yonder. Why? Because even those that are have got brains to burn, they're walking around and their lives are broken by sin. And many of them see no future and they're committing suicide. They're carrying a broken heart. And Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, ye that labor. Come to me, ye that are heavy laden. And he says, I'll give you rest. The word of God says in Luke's gospel, the story of the feast in Luke 14, come, for all things are now ready. Let me tell you, friend, Jesus Christ says, come to me. You don't have to work your way to heaven, because you could never do that. But thank God Christ has finished the work on your behalf upon the cross of Calvary. He has paid the price of your redemption. You can know freedom tonight. You can know salvation tonight through the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. But you've got to come to him. You've got to come and acknowledge your sin and by faith receive him as your Savior. And so I asked you the question, have you come? Come what for? Here's the chiefest matter, friend. Come to me that ye might have life. Life. You say, well, but we have life tonight. Sure, you're breathing. We're all breathing tonight. But friend, be honest. He's not talking about it. He's talking about life for eternity. You see, friend, this old world is not all over whenever you close your eyes in death. Whenever the eyelids shut down and the shutters are pulled down and you close your eyes in death and you breathe your last breath, many people say, that's it over. But friend, it's not. It's only beginning. Eternity. And let me tell you, deep in man's heart, he knows there's something else. Deep in man's heart, even the person that's living in the darkest parts of the world, they're worshiping something because they know that there's something after this. What are we here for? Why did God put us on this scene of time? Why did God make us different from everyone else, everything else? That God breathed into us the breath of life and we became a living soul. And you and I have eternity set in our hearts. Remember the young man in the scriptures in Mark chapter 10? He came running to Jesus Christ. Listen, the Bible says he had great possessions. And yet he come running to the Lord Jesus Christ. He knelt down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he said to him? He said, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternally. You see, friend, even with all his money, he knew he was missing something. And you can pack your life up with things of the world. You can pack your life up, friend, listen, with work, and you can with treasures and pleasures and all the rest of it. But they'll never fully satisfy. Because when it comes to the end of the journey, whatever you have packed your life up with, friend, instead of Christ, listen to me carefully, you've got to leave them all. You leave them all behind. Your life's set in that car. Let me tell you this, somebody else will drive it. Your life's set upon that farm. Let me say, somebody else will plough it. Your life's set upon that job. Somebody else will occupy it. For whether you want it or not, friend, listen. When God calls, you have to go. And here's a young man, he'd got everything the world could give him, but he knew he was missing life for eternity. He had nothing. Nothing for eternity. And I asked you before God, friend, listen, be honest with yourself. Be faithful to your own soul tonight. Listen, if God Almighty was to call you tonight, if God was to close your eyes tonight in death, if God was to say, this night your soul shall be required of thee, tell me, what have you for eternity? When you leave everything else behind, what have you for eternity? In actual fact, that was the same question that a young lawyer in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, 25, asked the Lord Jesus, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, what's written in the Scriptures? You see, there's only one way. Eternal life is found in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone. It was the Queen of England that said these words. It was said concerning her that she had more dresses in her wardrobe than any other person in the world. And she said these words at the end of the journey. All my possessions for a moment of time. But there was none. And when God calls you, when God calls you to leave this scene of time, friend, I asked you before God, are you ready? This is what Jesus said. Ye will not come to me that you might have life. You see, life eternal is only in Christ. The gift of God is eternal life. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. That's what Jesus said. Listen to the Savior tonight. Listen to the Savior. And yet Jesus looked at that people and he uttered some of the saddest words that were ever uttered from his lips. He said, ye'll not come to me that ye might have life. And they walked away from him. Jesus looked over the city of Jerusalem And as he looked over that city where he had done his miracles, where he had preached the word, given life to the dead, Jesus said, "How oft would I have gathered thee? As a hen would gather her brood under her wing, but ye would not." Let me ask you a question tonight. Why haven't you come to Christ? What's keeping you back? Is it pride? Pride dug hell. Lucifer rose up in pride. Let me tell you, friend, there are men and women tonight, and they're going to hell because they will not admit, they're too proud to admit, "I'm a sinner. Sin's the brat that somebody else owns, not me." And they stick their nose in the air in their religious, sanctimonious pride, and they say, "How dare he tell me I'm a sinner? I'm not." And God says, "You are. For all have sinned and come short of the glory." Is it pride? Is it pride? Let me tell you, friend. Look at a dead body. Look at a corpse. Forget about the pride, isn't it? With the ashen face. You can decorate it up whatever way you like, friend. They're dead. And yet you're too proud to be saved. Is it people? The fear of man, the Bible says, it brings a snare. You're afraid of what others would say. You're afraid of perhaps what the family would say. People? Is that what's keeping you from Christ? Let me tell you, friend. Those people can take you to hell, but they'll never take you out of it. Pride? People? Is it pleasures? Oh, I like my pleasures. I remember years ago when I went to Belfast first again, Dr. Pearce was holding meetings, gospel meetings, on a Sunday night, and a young girl, young teenage girl, had come to the meetings, and her heart was often broken. She would sit in tears. One night as she was going out through the door, Doc Paisley stopped her and shaking her hands, and he said, invited her to come to Christ, and he says, "I've noticed you've been in tears. Will you not come to Christ?" And she said, "Dr. Paisley," or "Mr. Paisley," she said, "Mr. Paisley, there's a dance on Friday night, and I've got to go to the dance with my friends." And then she said this, "Surely God wouldn't cut me off." To get to the dance. During that week, friend, that young girl was down in the little humble home that she lived in with her mother. And she was down, she had a scrubber in her hand, as they used to do, and scrub the doorstep, and was scrubbing the wee porch at the house. And she had a bucket of water and a scrubber, and she was scrubbing the floor. And all of a sudden her mother heard this clash. And she went out and the bucket was knocked over and the water was across the floor and the scrubber was out of her hand and the young girl was lying across the floor. And she was in God's eternity. She never got to the dance. Surely God wouldn't cut me off, preacher. I want to get to the dance. Is that what's keeping you back, friend? Pleasures? The pub, the club, the disco, your sin, the dazzling lights, the tinsel, Those who were here the other night, but tell your friend, we were going out there, people were getting up of their seats, were going through that door. Suddenly the lights went out. Everybody stood and gasped in the dark. That's how it can happen, friend. God can turn the lights out just like that of your life. One minute you're standing there, and the next minute you're on the ground. Lights out. But the sad thing is this, if you're not saved, you're going into the darkness of a Christless hell forever. A lost eternity. Pleasures. Is it possessions? Is that what's it? Well, if I was to get saved, you know, I have a business and I do things, and I wouldn't be able to do those things if I give my heart and life to Christ, for I'd have to live right. And so it's possessions. Let me tell you, friend. There's no pockets in the shroud. And you leave your money behind you. Possessions will fail. We're nearly over tonight. Is it the past? You say, preacher, if you only knew my life, I have a vile past, a sinful past. Let me tell you, friend, God knows your past. And yet he offers you to come to him that you might have life. The price is too high. Listen, the price of your sin is hell. And that for all eternity. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Young man, come to me. Jesus' mother, come to me. Father, come to me. Young lassie, come to me that you might have life. With tears running down the Savior's cheeks, he cried, he will not come. Why won't you come? He won't come to me. And you might have life. And you walk away without Jesus. Will you come? Little hymn says, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. He bids you come, friend. With all my heart, I beg you, come to Jesus. Do not die in your sin. For where Christ is, you'll never be. What him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And if you come, thank God he'll save you. Thank God he'll bring you in to his family. And you'll be as sure of heaven as if you were there. Through Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you can try every other way and you'll go to hell. But if you trust Jesus, you'll get to heaven. What's it going to be, friend? You do one or two things. You will either come to him that you might have life, or you will not come to him and not sealeth, but the wrath of God abideth on you. And every step you take, you're getting nearer and nearer and nearer and nearer to hell. And then like that, into it. The blackness of darkness forever. Lost. Why? Why are men and women in hell tonight? Why are men and women lost tonight? Why have souls perished tonight? I'll tell you. Because they wouldn't come to the giver of life. They wouldn't come to Christ. They made their excuse. And they died in sin without Christ. Let's pray. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight, I asked you a simple question before God, friend. Have you come to Jesus as a sinner? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you sure before God that you're right and ready to meet Him? Or is your answer, no, preacher, I haven't come. I haven't come. Do you see the tragedy of that, friend? Do you see the danger of that? Of being lost forever? But the final question is this: will you come to Him? Will you? You say, how do I come? You come as you are. You come as a sinner. And you're coming to the Savior. The only one that can break the power of your sin. The only one who can set you free. The only one who can cleanse you and make you clean. Will you tell the Lord tonight, I come to Thee. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we sing that little verse, just as I am without one plea. And if there's a man or woman or a young person in this meeting tonight, you say, preacher, I realize it's serious not to come to Christ because I'm turning my back on life eternal. I'm turning my back on heaven. And I'm walking on to hell. But I will come. Now. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. I will. Preacher, lead me to Christ. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, and God's people sing this prayerfully. If there's a man, a woman, a boy, a girl in the service, you say, preacher, I want to come to Jesus. Maybe they're backslider. I want to come back to Him. Wasting my life, wasting my years. I want to come back to the Lord. Point me back to Him. Then his heads are bowed and we sing this verse. Would you just slip that hand above your head that I'll see it, friend? Indicate that desire. Preacher, lead me to Christ. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am without one plea. Is there one tonight in this meeting? Friend, before God, you're willing to come to Christ. You're turning your back on your sin and you're going to receive Christ as your Savior. Would you lift that hand right now? Indicate that desire as heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And we sing this little verse for you. Is there one tonight in this meeting? And the earnest cry of your heart is, yes, Jesus, I come. One final verse, just as I am and waiting not. Just as... Friend, I beg you, don't wait another night. God's time is now. Come now. Is there someone right now whose heads are bowed and eyes are closed? We sing this little verse. Would you lift that hand toward heaven, sinner or backslider? Preach your appointment to Christ. Don't miss the Lord tonight. In God's name, come. O Lamb of God, you tell the Lord you're coming tonight. Heavenly Father, thou knowest every heart. Lord, as they walk toward the door tonight, may every unsaved person realize how serious it is to turn their back on thee, walking away from life, and not for all eternity. But give them grace to stop and call upon the Lord, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Save them tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're here to help you tonight. Please don't go away. Come and speak to us. We'll gladly open God's word and show you how you can know God's salvation and be sure that you're right with God. But don't walk away from Jesus tonight. He's your only answer. He's the only Savior. May God save you.